You know, if you look beneath the surface of a no-growth or a slow-growing disciple in the area of character and guidance, you will often find damaged emotions. And I wonder, teacher, if you've realized that there are people who actually wish to block spiritual progress in their own lives. God has given definite statements concerning spiritual progress and spiritual advance. And God's word makes it clear that there is no place in his program for standstill. And using the illustration of the bicycle, if we are at a standstill, then of course the bicycle topples. We fall off. And we can at least say that those who do not go forward are not in the center of God's will and are thus out of fellowship with him. The French have a well-known proverb which says, whoever does not go forward goes backwards. And this is certainly true in the father's dealing with his children. Let me put four verses together for you and just think about how they apply to this situation. Philippians 1:6 says, he which hath begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. When I begin, I will also make an end, it says in 1 Samuel 3:12. Psalm 89:33 says, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. And Psalm 138:8 says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. These promises and others like them are God's certain guarantee that he is not going to let us remain still for long. For your further preparation in teaching this chapter, teacher, and on going forward in goals and directions and continued growth, let me just give you some ideas on emotions, since it's damage to the emotions that tend so often to dwarf Christians in God's objective and will for them. To show you how much the Bible deals with the topic of the human emotions, use this idea that I picked up from Henry Brandt's book, The Struggle for Peace. Write negative emotions at the top of the left-hand side of a page and positive emotions at the top right-hand side. And then either brainstorming alone or with some family member or friend, write down all the positive emotions you can think of on one side and all the negative emotions you can think of on the other side. And then just thinking of verses that you can recall or stories in the Bible, just going through it at random, quickly find as many verses as you can that communicate or express any of the emotions that you listed. For instance, you could go to the Psalms or any of Paul's letters in the epistles or some of the Proverbs, and you'll find that here are all manner of emotions displayed or listed. Feelings are very good things, since God has made us emotional beings, and certainly it's not wrong to express feelings, as you've noted by these many examples of emotion in the Bible. But since some of Satan's most vicious attacks on the Christian come in the sphere of emotions, we prepared the tape for your group on confronting the reasons why people fall off in the area of psychological or emotional problems. In your group session, before you introduce their tape for this lesson, you might want to divide your Bible study group up into little listening teams to listen for specific things in the tape. For instance, you might have one team listen for answers to the question, what emotional problems are causing people to fall off in the Christian growth? Another team should listen for answers to the question, what resources does a Christian have to keep him from falling off and for overcoming the psychological problems? And the third team should listen for answers to the question, what scriptures does the speaker of the tape use? After playing the tape, have the teams report on their conclusions. Damaged emotions take time to heal because it takes time to damage them. They didn't get that way overnight. And you know, damaged emotions was never God's best plan for us. Leviticus 26:13 in the Living Bible says, for I am the Lord your God, I have broken your chains, and I will make you walk with dignity. While God's thoughts are to make us move in dignity, Satan's tools slow our growth or knock us out of the race completely. I want to read for you a little thing that appeared in the Gospel Herald entitled The Devil's Tools. This really touched me as I read it, and I just want to share it with you today, teacher. It was advertised that the devil was going to put his tools up for sale. On the date of sale, the tools were placed for public inspection, each being marked with its sale price. They were a treacherous lot of implements: hatred, envy, jealousy, deceit, lying, pride, and so on comprised this outfit. Laid apart from the rest was a very harmless-looking tool, very well-worn, but priced very high. "What is the name of this tool?" asked one of the purchasers, pointing to it. "Ah, that is discouragement," tersely replied the devil. "Why have you priced it so high?" "Oh, because it's more useful to me than the others. I can pry open and get inside a man's heart with that, and when I cannot get near to him with any other tool, I can get inside with this one, and once I get inside of him, I can make him do what I choose. It is badly worn because I use it on almost everyone, since few people know that it belongs to me." The devil's price for discouragement was so high that it was never sold. And discouragement is still his tool, and he is using it today on God's own people. Oh, dear teacher, I myself have so many times allowed him to use this tool on me. I'm wondering if you also have allowed him to discourage you. And again, I remind myself and I remind others to whom I minister that discouragement never comes from God. God never discourages us. I trust that these thoughts on the devil's tools will be a real help to you personally, as well as to your class. Thank you for letting me come into your home and share my heart with you today.